The following program is being brought to you on the Seventh Wave Network. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit SeventhWaveNetwork.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Is now in session. Welcome to Spirituality 101 with your instructor, Reverend Norman. Come prepared with questions and comments and see through the lens of spirituality. And now, here's your host, Reverend Norman.
Welcome to Spirituality 101. I'm so glad that you're out there. You're joining me today on what for me is one of those most sacred days in my own spiritual journey. And so today is Good Friday. It is drawing towards the end of Holy Week. And being a devout Christian myself, it is one of those days that brings me into solemnness and sacredness. But we are going to attempt here to keep the tempo up. You're listening today to Spirituality 101. We're here to support you on your spiritual journey. Whatever your path, whatever that path that you may have stepped on to grow your spirituality, we are here to support you. We see ourselves as pioneers in motivation and transformation. And in that regard, we bring to you experts who have studied, dedicated a great portion of their lives to studying the many, many aspects of spirituality. We bring to you people who are themselves walking this journey of growing spirituality so that they can share with you, our listeners, what they have learned along the way, what has worked for them, and perhaps what has not. We are here to bring to you tools of transformation, to bring to your attention the many, many tools that are available now in the spiritual field, whether we're talking about books that inform, whether we're talking about crystals that have transforming energies, whether we're talking about meditation and the power that it brings into clearing space on the inside, whether it's teaching you about stones and what they have to offer on this journey. As we approach the year 2012, we are attempting to bring to your attention everything that can help you to expand consciousness, to grow, to love more, to live more fully, and to expand that spiritual part of yourself that will allow you to be all that you can be. Today, I want to bring to you a legend. We are going to start with today's story time. Think of today's story time. There is power to the oral tradition of storytelling. And so today, I want to start with the legend of the dogwood. It is spring. And at springtime, we are extremely blessed with the springing force back into life, the energies of the trees. We are surrounded during spring with regrowth, renewal. We're reminded that at this time of the year, Mother Nature renews herself. And as the weather becomes warmer and we can feel the wonderful energy of the sun on our bodies, we come to that understanding that this is the time of the year, spring, that we should spring into new ideas. We should try harder. Mother Nature is helping us with what she's offering us so that we can expand consciousness and be more conscious. I broadcast from the greater Washington, D.C. area, where the cherry blossoms are absolutely resplendent at this time of the year. If you go down to the Tidal Basin, it is just absolutely beautiful, and Washington, D.C. is just full of visitors who are here to enjoy the beauty and the energy of the cherry blossoms. Among the cherry blossoms is the dogwood tree that we're more or less all of us familiar with. And so I want to read you the legend of the dogwood. And it's a story that goes like this. 2,000 years ago, trees in the Middle East were not big enough to construct anything substantial. However, one tree was found to be useful with its thick trunk and fine, strong wood. When the Romans began to rule over in Jerusalem, they searched for wood suitable for building crosses or on which to execute criminals. A group of laborers was sent out to find and gather wood for the crosses. One day, a special request was put out from the royal court. It was something like this. The king of the Jews is to be put to death. Deliver an extra large cross made from your finest wood. So it was that a fresh tree was cut from the forest. A special cross was quickly made that was taller than usual and very heavy. 3 days after the death of Jesus, the chief wood gatherer received some disturbing news. All of our finest trees are withering. The wood gatherers hurried to the forest and saw that it was indeed the case. Several years later, the chief wood gatherer heard that every spring, many people visited the old forest that had once made his job so easy. Despite being quite old and quite frail, he set out to discover why people were visiting the forest. He saw the remains of the forest, now with only a few trees still standing. Tall, baked, lifeless, and withering. As he drew close, his tired eyes could just make out the people walking among thousands of beautiful flowering bushes. Seeing one of his former workers, the old man said, "No one could ever make a cross of this twisted wood." He noticed the beautiful white flowers, each blossom looking as if it had been burned from the touch of a miniature cross. Because the source of this story is unknown, it is not possible to say whether the legend is based on fact or not. It could well be a fanciful product of someone's imagination. But I'd like you to consider this story and make your own based on the fact that we live today in an environment where the dogwood tree springs up every spring, and it provides this prolific, beautiful white blossoms, the center of which carries what seems like dark brown pollen, and legend has it, that represents rust that came from the nails and the hands of Christ, and that was nailed to the wood. And on the outer petals, there is a hint, a blush of red, that reminds us of the blood of the cross. It's a fanciful story, but every spring as I walk among the beautiful cherry blossoms and I admire the dogwood, I wonder about the source of this story. and whether or not there may be a scientific way for us to go backwards in time and actually check to see there must be some historical route there that we can follow in order to check to see whether or not this story is true. But we are thankful at springtime for the beauty, the joy of the dogwood tree. It is spring. And in many faith communities, there are celebrations of special occasions during the spring. There is, for example, the celebration of spring itself. And in many, many, many communities and many societies and many faith-based communities as well, there is a special celebration that surrounds spring, the tossing out of the old, the bringing in of the new, getting into the garden and digging and allowing Mother Earth to bring forth her energies and give us new growth. Springtime also brings us into this contemplation of serenity. As everything around us is upward, is moving upward, everything around us is so buoyant, everything around us is so beautiful, it tends to take our energies, our awareness, our thinking, our consciousness, our spirituality into a renewal state. And that renewal state is one that I would like to think of as serenity. How serene are you? How much work is it taking to keep you in that state? And I see we have 2 minutes to the first break, and I would like to share with you the Serenity Prayer, which is a prayer that is used very much in substance abuse intervention, where I provide services. And it's the gift that they have given to me from that community that has helped me to keep my life very much on balance. And this is what the Serenity Prayer says. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things that I cannot change, the courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Isn't that a beautiful prayer? It is very simple. It is very to the point. And I've always had this feeling that it has the capacity to keep us focused on what it is that we truly need and help us to then direct our attention and our awareness to be able to deal with those things that we can change and to allow our consciousness to take us to the place of acknowledging that there are some things that will not change. For example, the seasons. The seasons are not going to change for anybody. So I wanted to leave with you at the end of our first half of this program, the Serenity Prayer. How are you doing accepting the things that you cannot change? Where is your courage? Change the things that you can. And do you as yet have the wisdom to know the difference? Don't go away, we'll be right back.
Your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
We all want peace. We all desire a more meaningful life. We work hard to achieve these things, but at what avail? The key is authentic living with Andrea Matthews. Andrea will interview some of the great spiritual experts of today and will provide wisdom to help you raise your consciousness to the level of your own I Am. Your authenticity can give you miraculous gifts, but you have to know how to get there. Listen for Authentic Living with Andrea Matthews, heard live every Wednesday afternoon at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time on the Seventh Wave Network.
What's this? Milk. Low fat, no fat. They're milk too, and their names rhyme.
This man may sound odd.
Low fat, no fat.
But to his 3-year-old daughter helping him pick out food, he makes perfect sense.
Here's cheese with holes in it.
Learning starts long before school does, and children are naturally curious. Take simple moments like shopping and turn them into learning moments.
It's called Swiss.
Swiss has holes.
That's right. Oh, can you say gorgonzola?
Gorgonzola.
Turn everyday moments into learning moments. Visit bornlearning.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Let's sing that. that new song?
My music track, track, track from my modem jack, jack, jack plays MP3s, threes, threes, and I download fast, fast, fast. I read the bits, bits, bits on the microchips, chips, chips, and I burnt, burnt, burnt all my favorite hits, hits, hits.
By the sixth grade, many girls lose interest in technology, but parents can help keep them updated. Go to girlsgotech.org.
A public service announcement brought to you by Girl Scouts of USA and Ad Council.
Your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
This is Spirituality 101 with Reverend Norma. We encourage your participation in this course. Please call in toll-free at 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. If you wish to provide written correspondence, please address your emails to myspirituality101@yahoo.com. Now, back to Spirituality 101.
Welcome back. Reverend Norma, and today we are broadcasting live on Good Friday, one of the most sacred days in the Christian calendar. Around this time also, our Jewish counterparts are celebrating the Passover, and so it's a special time in both communities, in both the Jewish community as well as the Christian community. Today we share the story or the legend of the dogwood. And I also shared the Serenity Prayer. And I kind of want to take the discussion now around where are we individually, collectively, as humanity, on this road to accepting the things that we cannot change and building the courage to be able to change the things that we can, and asking for the wisdom so that we can discern, and I think that word discern is a powerful word, we can discern the things to know the difference between what we can change and what we cannot change. If we should go to the whole example that the Christ story teaches us, is that even at the height of his spirituality, he recognized that there were some things that he could not change, or it was not desirable to change, which kind of gives us this lesson that in life, there are some things, even though we have gained a level of spirituality, that there are still some things that we have got to accept as the status quo. Sometimes having to wait until history, so to speak, and time catches up with our thinking. And so that's one of the things that that story has done for me, to help me to recognize that there will always be things that are not so easily changeable, and that there are things that must be changed, and the timing might be right for changing those things, and then asking ourselves where to seek the courage in order to make that change. I see we have a caller from Maryland. His name is Mark. Mark, are you there?
Yes, how are you doing, Reverend Edwards?
I am fine, and how are you?
I'm doing fine, a little cold, so forgive me for my voice, if it's breaking up a little bit.
You're forgiven.
Thank you.
How are you doing this springtime? If you're calling from Maryland, Maryland is in full bloom, and how are you feeling this beautiful spring day?
Well, I think spring facilitates change and a new perspective on things and a chance to make some changes for hope. But I also wanted to comment on the on Good Friday and the crucifixion and I guess the question has sort of come up as to whether we're supposed to be somber and or joyful during this Easter holiday. It's sort of been a question of debate as to how we're supposed to respond, and I just wanted to make a comment on that, if that was okay.
Sure. What are your feelings?
Well, my feelings are, I think of the movie The Passion of the Christ, and I think, I'm not speaking for Mel Gibson, I think that he was trying to show and to portray the passion and what Christ went through, and though it may not actually be, it might actually be worse, but I think my feelings are on a Good Friday that I want to remember the suffering that he went through, and kind of feel and die with him, but also I want to say that on Easter Sunday we need to be joyful. So I think both, in my opinion, both attitudes is correct. One, to be to feel the suffering, to be somber, to be reverent, to be reflective of what he went through physically, at least what he endured for our sins. Because I think what Mel Gibson was trying to—I know for me, it reminded me that what he did was very significant, and what he had to endure for our sins. And I think sometimes we take Easter too lightly, and we need to be reminded of that suffering, but also be joyful in the resurrection. So I think personally, I think we need to, apply both of those perspectives.
Well, thank you for such a detailed, well thought out perspective. I have, I don't know if you know it, but I do walk the Christian way. I am open, I'm receptive to all that is around me, and I am quite aware that all paths lead home. But different people choose different paths. Mine happens to be the Christian path, with a focus on growing spirituality along the way. And in that regard, I like to say that over the years, because I'm not exactly a teenager, but over the years of having experienced the passion year after year during this time that is Holy Week, the place where I have arrived with Holy Week is that is a place for me to renew the sacredness that I carry within. It's a place that allows me to renew that sacredness because I am reminded of the sacrifice. So that the sacrifice takes me to the sacredness. But I have to say that I have grown to the place, I don't know whether this is right or it's wrong or it is the place where I should have arrived, but I've grown to the place where I recognize that the crucifixion happened thousands and thousands of years ago. And I have often asked myself this question, do we as individuals sit around and contemplate what has happened in our own personal histories way back to 100 years ago or 200 years ago? Do you see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And while we may know of what may have transpired in our families 100 years ago, with time, we allow time to be the healer. And I think what I'd like to say to Christians today, if they're listening, it's time for us to allow time to be the healer. We should never forget the sacrifice. And that sacrifice is what should drive us on to ensure that not a single word, nor a single statement, nor a single concept that came from this man who walked the earth in the way he did, that none of it gets lost. And I think in this generation, in my generation, I'm feeling that that's my responsibility, that none of it should get lost. You see, Christ was a metaphysician extraordinaire, and he left behind him a tremendous amount of metaphysical concepts. And I feel like it's my responsibility to not, because of the sacrifice that was made in order to bring that information to us, I feel like it's my place, personally, to make sure that the sacrifice was not in vain, and to make sure that we grow our consciousness to the place where we can embrace those concepts that he has left behind. What do you think?
Well, I take your point, and especially the point about time for renewing, and in other words, if we don't dwell on these things, again, I think we take it for granted, and we don't realize that what he has done for us is to allow us to be free and to be saved and to enjoy this life. and be peaceful, because if we don't reflect on the suffering, then it would have been in vain what he did. What he did would be in vain. And we need to be remembered as human beings. We, like you said, you're so quick to forget history. And I think that's part of what that movie, the Passion of the Christ, did, is to remind us when we got very emotional watching the beating and everything. That, to me, was a reminder that we need to take what he has done as Christians and run with that and live a fulfilling Christian life. Otherwise, what he did would have been in vain.
Let me ask you this question. Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
You seem to be very well informed. Let me ask you this question.
Mm-hmm.
Are you walking the Christian trail?
Well, I'm certainly trying.
Okay.
By God's grace, yes.
Okay. What do you think, where do you think Christ's thinking would have been if he was still alive today? If somehow miraculously he was walking this earth today, where do you think he would have, what would have been his expectations for Christians?
Well, to keep the commandments and to love each other as he stated, as he loved us. And I mean, I'm sure he's looking down on everything, but I wonder if he, I mean, on the one hand, Christianity has spread since his time, but on the other hand, I wonder what his reaction to how we are living today, and not always being loving and compassionate to each other. I would have to wonder if his heart was a bit saddened and a bit heavy with what's going on in the world today. But at the same time, he knows that it's all for a purpose, and it's escalating to a point. But I mean, on a day-to-day basis, I would imagine, I would think that he would be a bit saddened by some of the things that are going on, even though there is a lot of good going on, but it doesn't seem to be perpetuated, that good. We seem to spend so much time dwelling on the bad things and not... And I think when we dwell on the bad things, by the way, I think, again, we're forgetting what he did, because he didn't give us a spirit of fear and the spirit of unhappy, because that's what he died for as part of the salvation package, so to speak. So if we continue to dwell on all that is bad, then again, I think he would have died in vain, and he probably would have said, you know, I guess, wondered why we spent so much time not focusing on him and his word and his commandments and his Father, as opposed to focusing so much on ourselves. Just like Peter, when Peter focused on his circumstance, we all know what happened. He started to sink, and what did he say? As if to reproach Peter, "Oh, ye of little faith." I mean, how much more?
So let me stop you there. How much faith have we grown? We're coming to a break, and I'd like, please don't go away.
Okay.
How much faith as Christians have we grown? And let's come back to this word, growth. How much have we grown since he has walked this earth? You're listening to Spirituality 101. Call us if you have something you'd like to contribute to this dialogue. The number is 1-866-472-5795. Don't go away.
Be extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
Reprogram Your Life specializes in the design and implementation of life-changing spiritual experiences. Let us help you to expand your consciousness, grow wisdom, or foster realignment of body, mind, and spirit. Whether it's individualized instruction or a group encounter, we are here to tailor the event to suit your needs. Go to www.reprogramyourlife.net or call us at 301-920-2291. That's reprogramyourlife.net or call 301-920-2291. Reprogram Your Life. Pioneers in motivation and rehabilitation.
There results indicate your child has neuroblastoma.
There's evidence of metastasis.
We need to schedule a bone marrow.
We'll need to perform a surgical
urinary
biopsy,
VMA detection,
MIBG scan.
After you hear your child has cancer, chances are you don't hear anything else. CureSearch.org connects you to the most comprehensive research and advice on childhood cancer and to other families who know exactly what you're going through. CureSearch.org. You're not as alone as you feel. Brought to you by CureSearch and the Ad Council.
Just what is SkillsUSA?
SkillsUSA specifically prepares you for the workforce.
SkillsUSA empowers students to connect with a network of people. SkillsUSA allows students to connect with business and industry, to manage their education, and to really get a feel of the real world.
SkillsUSA.
Find out more on the web at skillsusa.org.
The new home for visionary positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
This is Spirituality 101 with Reverend Norma. We encourage your participation in this course. Please call in toll-free at 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. If you wish to provide written correspondence, please address your emails to myspirituality101@yahoo.com. Now, back to Spirituality 101.
Welcome back. This is Spirituality 101. I am Reverend Norma, and we are having a very interesting discussion here today about Good Friday and the man who walked this earth called Jesus Christ. And I have Mark, caller on the line, and I hope Mark hasn't gone away because he's raised some very interesting questions. Are you there?
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay, good. To come back to our discussion, the question I asked was, what do you think Christ would expect of us as Christians walking the earth today? And then we got upon this thing called faith, and we got upon this thing about following instructions, which is all very good. But even in our everyday activities, we know that we get educated, we get nurtured, we follow instructions, and then we are expected to produce. Are we producing as Christians?
Well, I think there's a lot of good things being done in the world today, and I think that we've come a long way in our consciousness. I think our consciousness has been raised over the years and generations, and a lot of good is being done. But at the same time, I'm reminded of the words from the Bible where it says that many of my people suffer due to lack of knowledge.
Okay. What does that mean? What kind of knowledge are we lacking? I mean, the bookstores are full of books. They are Christian books written on every single topic on the face of the earth. So what is it that we're lacking?
I think that's a good question. To quantify it, my feeling is lacking godly knowledge, because we like you said, a lot of us are seeking education to further our careers, and we're much more educated, I feel, as a human race than the people that lived 2,000 years ago. I mean, to the extent that Christ spoke in parables in order for them to get what he was saying. I think we're much more evolved and educated, but I think the focus is more worldly as opposed to godly. How is it then that we're so much more educated, but we seem to suffer so much more than the people probably back 2,000 years ago? What are we filling our minds with? I think that we need to, in terms of living in the light, so to speak. I think we really need to focus more on godly knowledge and that thing called the Bible. To the extent that we're able to live the life that God had ordained for us. I think what was relevant in the Old Testament, where God says, "My people suffer because of lack of knowledge," I think that is applicable today, because we still suffer, even though we have evolved as a people and much more educated, and our consciousness has I mean, you look at some of the religious organizations, for example. I wonder, what is the focus? Is it more about filling pews, or is it more about teaching us about our God?
Well, we won't go quite in that direction because that's a whole lot of show. That one is really a whole lot of show. As a matter of fact, I'm trying to do a three-part series on that. But I'd like to come back to the two words, faith and growth. If we believe or we accept Christ was a master metaphysician, the ability to stand forth and say to that ocean, be still, that is a metaphysical action. The ability to reach out to someone and says, be it to you according to your faith, is a metaphysical action. It is bringing forth a tremendous amount of elements, having the power to bring forth a tremendous amount of elements that crystallized into the action that we saw. And if we acknowledge that he said that whatever it is that I can do, you can do also. And we take that and we link it to the sacrifice of Good Friday, then it would seem to me, and I wonder, this is a question, given the sacrifice that was offered up so that we can be allowed to take our journey to the same place as his was, because if we ever took the journey there, we won't need as many doctors and hospitals in this world. Given the sacrifice, are we really as Christians, are we taking that sacrifice and giving a return? I mean, it was an amazing sacrifice. What are the returns that are expected of us? And to what extent are we appreciative of the sacrifice enough to be able to do the work, as I call it work, that must be done to take us to the mastermind?
Well, it seems to me if we do focus on the sacrifice, it will facilitate us seeking God more. I mean, didn't Jesus say basically if we had faith as a mustard seed, what we could do with that? Mm-hmm. I mean, it seems to me if our focus is not on realizing what truly, do we really understand what he did? I mean, we know in theory it's salvation. We know we were saved now and we're adopted. But do we really know the full extent of what it all means? It gives us power to do his work, as you say, and to do great things. I mean, to raise the dead and to cure. So, I mean, if we're not able to do this, it is a question of faith. And if it is a question of faith, if we are in the Lord and in the Word, why many? I'm not saying that all of us are able to do these things. I mean, I'm sure we're all ordained to do and what we were ordained to do on this planet. But how much more better off as Christians would we be if we did grow our faith and have the mustard seed faith to the extent that we can do what we're supposed to do?
You know, I sometimes wonder whether the word faith and consciousness should not be, is really being used, whether we are conscious of it intermittently. In the scriptures, it talks about faith. Today, I think we have grown, we've been educated enough to recognize the power of consciousness. Where is your attention focused?
Exactly.
That becomes your consciousness
exactly.
level. So if you look at it from that perspective of faith and consciousness being the same thing, then where is our consciousness, and to what extent are we growing that consciousness to be able to become masterminds?
I think you touched on a key point because our consciousness, Paul talks about us guarding our minds, did he not? To the extent that if we are not guarding our minds, we are going to probably allow a lot of the distractions, the worldly distractions, take us away from God. And if our consciousness is filled with worldly distractions, the BS degree, I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with being educated, but and furthering our careers and we've got to pay the bills. I know we have to live, but what I'm saying is it to the point now that even though we're more educated and more evolved, are we allowing more of a worldly perspective take root in our lives to the extent it is eliminating God consciousness, for the lack of a better term, to the extent that we're losing we're not as in touch with God as we should be, giving our evolution as human beings retroactive to 2,000 years ago.
Whoa, that's a mouthful, Mark. That's a mouthful and a whole other show. But what you are talking and touching on here is roots. You're talking about where we are rooted.
Exactly.
How we are rooted. How do we see the perception of our roots? And as Christians, those roots go all the way back to Good Friday. I mean, the three-year journey, the 33-year life, but the three-year journey of teaching and preaching and giving the example is rooted in the sacrifice that was made on Good Friday. That's the root. And if we are to take that seriously enough to want to produce, you know, these days you work for an employer, they expect you to produce. They want to be able to see returns for the money that they're putting up to pay you. We live in a world now where everybody's looking for returns, and as Christians, I think we have got to get to that place of, are we giving returns on the amazing sacrifice that was made to allow us to grow and to become masterminds and to be able to be all that we can be? What do you think?
Well, that is a mouthful, too. I mean, I think that, again, basically, we need to, for example, just to give you an example, I mean, I think it is becoming very difficult for many of us to even take time out to pray.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because we're in, and to sit and meditate. I mean, David was a good example where he sat a lot of the time and just meditated. He had duties as a king, for you know. But we don't even seem to have time for God anymore.
Well, I like to take people's awareness to this. It's hard to really get all of your focus on the invisible when you live very much tied to the visible. We have a whole lot of people on earth whose consciousness are tied to the visible. And I think this is what this whole, some people call it New Age, I say there's nothing new under the sun. This is what this whole spiritual revolution is all about, to help us to understand that as we strive to expand consciousness, we grow faith. As we grow faith, we get to the place of readiness to be able to manifest all things. And whether you teach that, I believe, in spiritual terms, even leaving the word God out of it, or whether you teach that in a faith-based term, we have to really understand that as soon as we talk about faith, we're talking about consciousness. And to what extent are we in touch with ourselves, comfortable with ourselves, before we can reach out to an invisible God? We cannot see.
Well, that's a good point. Did Paul not tell us to live in the Spirit to the extent that Jesus said we are in this world, but we're not of it? So how do we live in a world to be...
Don't go away. We'll be right back. Spirituality 101.
Taking you to the threshold of a dream and beyond. Seventh Wave Network.
Reprogram Your Life specializes in the design and implementation of life-changing spiritual experiences. Let us help you to expand your consciousness, grow wisdom, or foster realignment of body, mind, and spirit. Whether it's individualized instruction or a group encounter, we are here to tailor the event to suit your needs. Go to www.reprogramyourlife.net or call us at 301-920-2291. That's reprogramyourlife.net or call 301-920-2291. Reprogram Your Life. Pioneers in motivation and rehabilitation.
Mom, my tooth fell out.
The coach says I can play shortstop.
I get to be
a deciduous tree.
You live for the firsts in your child's life. But how do you cope with the firsts that come after your child is diagnosed with cancer? CureSearch.org connects you to the doctors and scientists whose collaborative research has turned childhood cancer from a nearly incurable disease to one with an overall cure rate of 78%. CureSearch.org. You're not as alone as you feel. Brought to you by CureSearch and the Ad Council.
Mom?
Dad?
How long should I wait for you?
Mom?
If I'm at soccer practice.
What if something happens? Will you come get me?
There's no reason not to have a plan in case of a terrorist attack.
Mom, if you're not home,
should we go to the neighbor's house?
And some extremely good reasons why you should.
Can you tell me?
Everybody should have a plan. Take 5 minutes to talk about where you'll meet and how you'll get in touch with each other in an emergency. For other things you can do to be prepared, visit www.ready.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the Ad Council.
The new home for visionary positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
This is Spirituality 101 with Reverend Norma. We encourage your participation in this course. Please call in toll-free at 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. If you wish to provide written correspondence, please address your emails to myspirituality101@yahoo.com. Now, back to Spirituality 101.
Welcome back. This is Reverend Norma, and we're talking to Mark from Maryland. And boy, has he kind of taken us here deep into this topic of the sacrifice that took place on Good Friday and whether or not we are providing returns for that sacrifice. Mark, you were making a point when we streamed off air.
Yes, we're talking about living in a world and being conscious of God. Just to paraphrase what Jesus said, we live in the world, but we're not of it. And along that same vein, Paul says that we, you know, basically we need to live in the Spirit. And my understanding is to live in the Spirit is to be filled with the Word of God. When we're filled with the Word of God, we're living in the Spirit. Now we're bridging the gap of consciousness. Seems like the death on the cross was also a facilitator and a catalyst to for the New Testament to give us the tools to live in the Spirit, to be conscious of our Father, Yahweh. So my feeling is that if we fill our minds with the Word of God, it would allow us to raise above the world, because he conquered the world with his death. Like I said before, there's so many adjuncts to what he did on the cross. I don't even think we fully will know until we go on and meet him and be with him. But I really believe that if we try and strive to fill ourselves with the Word of God, we will now be living in the Spirit. And when we're living in the Spirit, we're more closely connected to Him. And then we could really function and do the things and the great things that Jesus said that we can do.
Well, I want to thank you, Mark. You have certainly sparked deep, deep discussion. I have another caller on the line from North Carolina that I would like to pick up before we leave. Thank you so much, and I'm hoping that when I do the three programs together, three sessions, one behind the other, to talk about this whole notion of spirituality and religion, that you will do me the honor of coming on here and leading a debate. Thank you so much.
Most certainly. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
All right. God bless.
Hello.
Hello. How are you doing?
I am fine. This is Stephen, I'm told.
Hi, how are you doing, Reverend Norman?
I'm fine. How is your holiday progressing? Is it warm and sunny where you are?
Yes, it is. Very beautiful day here. It's about 85 degrees here in Carolina.
Wow, it's 85 degrees on a Good Friday. It's sunny. It's joyful. What is your question?
Well, I actually had a comment. I was listening and following the show, and I was hearing you and Mark on the other line talking pretty much about how we don't have time to praise God, and how people are quick to try to find ways to receive things. And it's funny how you say that, because it's true. We are so focused on what we can get without even acknowledging God. And I wanted to know on my comment on that, and how do you feel about that? You know, we say we don't have time, but yet we're so focused on what we can get out of what we're doing.
Well, you see, son, thank you for that comment. But one of the things to help you to put that in perspective is that so many human beings have been seduced by the things that are considered precious in the world, and have let go of the precious things that the Spirit has to offer. Can you feel what I'm saying there?
Yes.
So many of us have been seduced. And in that state of seduction, we have forgotten that the things... When I was growing up, your character was more important than anything else. And I grew up with parents who, you know, if you did not uphold that, the high caliber of the character that surrounded your name, you'd be in a lot of trouble.
Right.
Today, we're not making judgments from the place of spirit. We're rather making judgments from the place of where we have been seduced. And so it's like we have to turn around and begin to re-inculcate, to put back into place some of the traditions. We need to be reminded by some of the traditions that have held us on the spiritual walk. We're losing those traditions. And one of those traditions is this day that is called Good Friday. I am of the opinion it's not the day to be so somber and so sad. God has given us a beautiful day. But it is certainly the day to reflect on the fact that our freedom, our spiritual freedom, was bought by a tremendous sacrifice, and that one man was willing to give that sacrifice so the entire world could feel the joy of what it is to live in the spiritual realm. But until we continue to allow ourselves to be seduced, we will always be less than spiritual.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Well, thank you so much for calling, and have a very, very, very happy holidays. Whatever your path and wherever that path takes you, remember that this is spring. The earth and the universe is reminding us of renewal, of growth, of love, of joy. So enjoy the rest of the holiday, and thank you so much for calling.
You too. Thank you.
You're welcome. Well, when we're having fun and we're having serious discussion, time flies. And we're 3 minutes to the end of this session. I would like to thank you for tuning in today. I would like to thank all those listeners who are out there listening, who are actively helping me to get through a sacred day. I want to leave with you the reminder of the story or the legend of the dogwood tree. And you can go up on the internet, and if you type in the legend of the dogwood tree, you would be able to read it in its entirety. Just go up on Google and type in the legend of the dogwood, and you'll be able to read it in its entirety. The legend was written by a very lovely lady from England. And I'd like to remind you that between now and the resurrection, which is on Sunday, is this wonderful energy pouring into the world that we're all open to receiving. So I say, allow your consciousness to engage the word sacrifice, because everything in this world that is worth having requires a certain amount of sacrifice. And to acknowledge that, accept that, and from that place, open yourself up to regrowth, renewal, and the joy of this holiday season. To my Jewish brothers and sisters, please enjoy the Passover. This is one of the few years that I have not been at a Passover table, and that is because I have just been too busy. Enjoy the Passover and all that that means to you, and the sacrifice that has taken you through that experience. And to my Christian listeners, I say, be sacred between today and Sunday morning, and on Sunday morning, the hallelujahs burst forth, and the energies of the world will be of such that we can all engage joy renewal, the spirit of laughter. Happy, happy holidays. And I'll be talking with you next week. We have a workshop coming up. Please give me a call at Spirituality 101 or write to me and tell me whether you would be interested in engaging a workshop that will talk about how to be calm in these stressful days. Walk softly on the earth, for you argued for the right to be here. Happy holidays.
Class is dismissed. Until next week, make sure you're on time to join Reverend Norma every Friday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time for another session of Spirituality 101. We'll see you then on Seventh Wave Network.